speaker to play Radio Catskill.
Live from the WJFF studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On today's show, the Delaware Riverkeeper Network petitions the town of Highland to adopt a moratorium on development in the Upper Delaware River Wild and Scenic Corridor. The town of Highland is currently in the process of revising its 10-year comprehensive plan, which identifies the town's principles, goals, policies, strategies for growth and development. We'll speak to the head of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network about what it all means. The Alzheimer's Walk is coming up in Orange and Sullivan later this month. We'll learn more about how you can register and who you can walk for. Also, the Rosendale International Pickle Festival is this weekend. It's the 27th year, and it features a pickle triathlon, a pickle eating contest, and a pickle toss. Plus, Sullivan County's Rock the Vote concert. Richard Travis is here to perform and tell us more. First, the news.
Live from NPR News, I'm Corva Coleman. There are fewer than 3 weeks left until the November 5th election. NPR has taken a new average of polls in the 7 most closely watched swing states. These include the blue wall states of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, and the 4 Sun Belt states, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, and North Carolina. NPR's Domenico Montanaro says Donald Trump has taken a very slight lead over Kamala Harris.
Democratic pollsters don't like what they're seeing because polls in 2016 and 2020 overstated Democratic support. So does that mean Trump? But polls in 2022, remember, understated Democrat support, though Trump wasn't on the ballot then. Well, maybe the pollsters have just adjusted and this time it truly is a coin flip race and they have it exactly right. That's possible. We just don't know.
All the polls are very close and all are well within the margin of error. Georgia set a record yesterday. More than 300,000 people cast ballots on the state's first day of early voting. Meanwhile, a Georgia judge has blocked a last-minute rule that would have required Georgia poll workers to hand count the number of ballots cast on Election Day. Controversial moves by the Republican-led state election board. From member station WABE, Sam Greenglass reports.
Fulton Superior Judge Robert McBurney wrote that the hand count rule approved in September is, quote, too much too late and should not be implemented until the court can fully consider it after the election. Local election officials and the Republican Secretary of State said they worried the rule would cause confusion with poll worker training already underway. A rule that introduces a new and substantive role on the eve of the election, McBurney wrote, does not contribute to lessening the tension or boosting the confidence of the public for this election. Earlier Monday, McBurney ruled that local election board members must certify election results, a decision that followed several Republican members declining to certify results earlier this year. For NPR News, I'm Sam Greenglass in Atlanta.
Stocks open mixed this morning amid a flurry of corporate earnings reports. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrials rose 140 points in early trading.
Stock in Morgan Stanley rose after the investment bank reported better-than-expected third-quarter earnings. It's been a strong season for the big banks. Shares of United Airlines also gained altitude as the company announced a $1.5 billion stock buyback. Computer chip makers are under scrutiny after one of their key equipment suppliers lowered its sales forecast for the coming year. ASML CEO says artificial intelligence chips have a lot of potential, but he warns other segments of the chip market are sagging. Inflation in the UK has dropped below the 2% target rate for the first time in more than 3 years. UK inflation was just 1.7% last month, reinforcing expectations that the Bank of England will keep cutting interest rates. Scott Horsley, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has released his victory plan to Ukraine's parliament. It's got 5 major goals, and the first one is getting Western allies to admit Ukraine into NATO. That's something the allies have not done as fighting continues between Russia and Ukraine. Letting Ukraine join NATO could potentially commit all NATO members to come to the military aid of Ukraine and risk widening the war with Russia. The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments today in a case pitting San Francisco against the Environmental Protection Agency. It's over clean water standards and the city's sewer system. From member station KQED in San Francisco, Catherine Monahan has more.
The city is asking the court for a more permissive interpretation of the Clean Water Act. It doesn't think it should be held responsible for how its sewer discharges impact the Pacific Ocean and San Francisco Bay, only for how much pollution comes out of its pipes. Here, this progressive city has found allies with industry groups. Meanwhile, 14 states, including California, have aligned with the EPA. Eric Buescher is an environmental attorney.
If the court rules in the city's favor, that makes it much more expensive, much harder, much more difficult for regulators to protect water and people.
A decision on the case is due by the end of June. For NPR News, I'm Catherine Monahan in San Francisco.
The NFL has awarded the 2028 Super Bowl to Atlanta. It'll be held next year in New Orleans. In 2026, the Super Bowl will be in Santa Clara, California, near San Francisco. In 2027, it will be in Inglewood, California, near Los Angeles. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Insperity, providing HR services and technology, from payroll, benefits, and HR compliance to talent development. Learn more at Insperity.com/HR Matters. And the Doris Duke Foundation.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. Welcome back. I'm Tim Bruno, and I'm here in the studio with Stephen Duvall.
Good morning.
And we're here because it's our fall fun drive, and we're going to get to our stories this hour. But first, we want to remind you that we need your donation to help us continue to bring you these local stories here on Radio Chatskill. 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org is where you can donate. And Stephen is here to help me out and answer the phone and just be our fall fun drive wingman.
It's like when you watch the telethons on TV and the phone's ringing off the hook and people are taking down all the information. Yeah. Like, that's what I want. I want the phone to be ringing. I want, like, papers flying.
You want that. Yes.
Yes.
That and Lola Falana and Joey Heatherton.
Just call me Jerry Lewis.
I'm flashing back to the telethons of yore. I don't know if listeners remember those, but 845-482-4141, WJFFradio.org. We'll get to the Delaware Riverkeeper petitioning the town of Highland to adopt a moratorium on development in the Upper Delaware River Corridor in a few minutes. But first, the Alzheimer's Association is holding their largest fundraiser on Saturday, October 26th in Montgomery, New York. The walk is supporting free local education, care, and support programs for families and neighbors affected with Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia. Tina Eckert is the walk manager for the Alzheimer's Association Walk, and she joins us now. Hi, Tina.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Thank you for being here. And tell us more about the Walk to End Alzheimer's. You know, we hear from you guys once a year, and hopefully, you know, there are some strides that are happening in the world of Alzheimer's research thanks to walks like this.
Yeah, there absolutely is. I mean, this year, the FDA just approved this is the third drug that actually treats the disease itself. And what's so important about that is it gives the person with the disease more time with their family, more time for planning, you know, more time to be with their loved ones. And it's by no means a cure yet, but we're on the right track. And, you know, within the past 3 years, to have three drugs that actually treat the disease itself and not the symptoms but the disease is just a game changer for us. We have absolutely moved into the era of treatment, and that is because folks come out and walk in our walks and support us through fundraising. I mean, we couldn't do that without everyone.
And, you know, something, it's great when you talk about the developments in research, right? And these scientists who are devoting their time to finding a cure in the treatment phase, as you say. But it boils down to just regular people coming out and walking. And that's how this development is happening.
Yes, absolutely, for sure. I mean, we offer these events so that, number one, yes, it's about fundraising. We need the money to be able to support our local families with programs and services, you know, educational programs, services that will help guide a family through a diagnosis. That's important. You know, the fundraising is what gets us there, and the fundraising is what supports the research. The walk, though, is also a place for families to come together. You know, when you lose someone or when someone's diagnosed, you know, you all of a sudden feel isolated, that you're all alone, and you are not all alone. When folks come to our walks, they will absolutely feel comfortable and a sense of community and a sense that, oh my gosh, we're not alone in this. And that's what we want to do. We want to be the place where folks come once a family member has a diagnosis. You know, we want to be there in this journey with them. That's what we're all about, you know, from volunteering for a walk, for fundraising, to it through a diagnosis, through, you know, hopefully the end, through raising dollars for research, and hopefully one day having that first survivor of this disease.
And what we mentioned in the introduction that, you know, the walk supports free local education, care, and support. Can you talk about some of those programs that are offered to folks in the area?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, we have programs where we can go in and help train first responders. We have programs where we can come in, we can do lunch and learns, like, for example, Know the 10 Warning Signs or Healthy Brain, Healthy Body, which is, ironically, there are now, we're finding more and more ways that folks can change their lifestyles, you know, to form some kind of prevention for this disease. You know, we will come in and we have respite care for caregivers. So, you know, someone taking care of a family member, it's overwhelming, and we can provide some respite to that caregiver. There are so many things. I mean, the list is so extensive. On our website, ALZ.org, you can find all of the programs that we offer. I mean, one of the most popular programs, one of the most popular educational programs that we do is Know the 10 Warning Signs, right? Because everybody wants to know, what does this look like? So we do a really great program as far as Know the 10 Warning Signs. And we can customize programs. Like, for example, if you're a company, you know, you're a bank, and you want to have all your staff together on a Zoom call, we can come in and do a lunch and learn, or we can come in person. Our staff are phenomenal. We have also volunteer community educators. We have, I hope you've seen our volunteer resource volunteers out in the community tabling everywhere. We just want to be that place of information where folks can go.
You mentioned the 10 signs, early signs and symptoms of Alzheimer's and dementia. I think as folks age, they know it's part of aging, but might be concerned, sure, that some normal parts of aging are just normal, but
right.
we can't go through all 10 of them right now, but you can go to ALZ.org and see those. But, you know, what are some of the things that folks should pay a little bit more attention to?
So I think, you know, because I have an aging mom, you know, I pay attention to these things all the time. And I think one of the most telltale signs is, you know, a change in personality. You know, I mean, that is one of a really big warning sign where, so someone, their personality just, it changes. If someone, you know, is very social and now all of a sudden they don't want to go out anymore, or someone's still working and they, you know, don't want to go to their job anymore. You know, just a big telltale sign is, you know, that person's starting to become a little reclusive. Most popular one too is, like, we all forget things, right? I mean, we put a pen down, we go back to get it, and it's not where we thought we left it. You know, we all misplace things. But it's when you find that thing that you're looking for and you pick it up and you say, oh, what is this thing I was just looking for? I know it's a pen, but what does it do? You know, it's not understanding what the thing is that you've been searching for once you find it. So those are some telltale signs. You know, spatial issues too. You know, folks a lot of times will have spatial issues. So, you know, if you find yourself all of a sudden feeling, you know, uncomfortable with walking or going downstairs, that could be another issue.
Hi Tina, it's Stephen. I'm sitting here with Tim. This is the first time I'm hearing about this walk. I'm curious if you could give us some more information about it. What does it entail? What does somebody need to do to maybe sign up for it? How long is it? Because all the stuff.
Oh, absolutely. So the walk is on Saturday, October 26th. Mm-hmm. It takes place at Benedict Farm Park in Montgomery. It is the Orange Sullivan Walk to End Alzheimer's. It's so we have two routes. We have a shorter route, which is about a half a mile, and then there's a longer route, which is about a mile and a half. They circumvent the park, so it's a very beautiful sight. And it's like you're walking a trail. It's really, really pretty. 9 o'clock is when the event opens. 10 o'clock is our opening ceremony. If we're looking for volunteers, we're looking for individuals or teams to sign up. A team can be two people. The website is orangesullivanwalk.org, and it's easy. There's no minimum or maximum amount that we're looking for. Folks don't have to pay a registration fee. They sign up and they ask their friends and family and neighbors and whomever to make a donation on their behalf. If folks want to walk in memory or in honor of a loved one, that's a great reason to be involved. Bring your loved one. We have a wonderful opening ceremony where everyone, once they arrive at Walk, will get a pinwheel flower, and the colors are based on their purpose for walking. For example, I will carry a purple flower because I lost my dad to the disease. So a purple flower represents you've lost someone. A blue flower will represent someone who has the disease, yellow if you're a caregiver, and orange if you care about the cause and you just want to be there to advocate, make a difference. So we have a lovely opening ceremony, which includes the flowers, and folks can plant their flower in a planted flower garden, a promise garden, or they can carry their flower as they walk to share, that with them, while they're, thinking about their loved one as they're walking. We have children's activities at Walk. It's a very fun, family-oriented event. So bring the kiddos. There's a beautiful playground at Benedict Farm Park. So lots of things for families to do.
And on the Walk page, you can see the top participants and top teams.
Yes.
It looks like you've got a top team of or top participant of the Ramachandran family, Kelly Thelman. We know Kelly. Some top teams of Flodell and Walk Hill East Rotary, Marshall and Sterling Insurance. Giving a shout out to some of these top fundraisers and top teams and some top companies as well participating. And you can get more information at the website. The website, again, there's a specific website for the walk itself, right?
Right. It's orangesullivanwalk.org.
All right. Tina Eckert is the walk manager for the Walk to End Alzheimer's in Orange Sullivan County, happening Saturday, October 26th. Tina, thank you so much for joining us, and have a great walk.
Thank you so very much for having me. Take care.
All right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about Delaware River Keeper and their commitment to end development and prevent development on the Upper Delaware River Corridor. Before we take a break, just a reminder that it is our fall fund drive. Asking for your support, 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. We'll be right back. This is Radio Chatskill.
Donate now.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, host of On Point. Each hour of On Point is a journey to help make complicated issues understandable. Every issue brings more questions, like how did we get here? Why is this happening? And what does it mean? And how do we fix it? So let's figure this out and make sense of the world together. Join me weekday mornings at 11 here on Radio Catskill.
Hi, I'm Mimi, Radio Catskills Development Manager. It's our fall fund drive, and if you're a new listener, you might be thinking, why are they asking me for money? Well, unlike commercial radio stations with long, aggressive blocks of advertising, we're listener-supported public radio, and we're a nonprofit. We depend on listeners like you for the majority of our annual revenue. So if you've never donated or have been thinking about it, donate now at WJFFradio.org. Thank you.
This is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. The town of Highland is currently in the process of revising its 10-year comprehensive plan. It identifies the town's principles, goals, policies, and strategies for growth and development, and informs zoning regulations, building codes, and land use policies for the next 10 years. Delaware Riverkeeper Network has petitioned the town of Highland to adopt a moratorium on development in the Upper Delaware River Wild and Scenic Corridor as part of their plan. Joining us now with more from Delaware Riverkeeper is Maya Van Rossum. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Good to be here.
Thanks for being here. Let us explain why Delaware Riverkeeper Network has petitioned the town to adopt a moratorium on development in this next 10-year comprehensive plan.
So the scenic and recreational river of the Upper Delaware River region really is a prize natural area for the communities all up and down the river corridor. And because it's so beautiful and so attractive, it is also starting to attract development attention. And there are very significant proposals that would develop the recreational river, the scenic and recreational river corridor, and have lasting and enduring impact. Because the town of Highland is undertaking its comprehensive plan right now, in no small part, thinking about how to best protect the recreational and scenic river, we think that it is wise to allow that comprehensive plan to take place so the town doesn't unwittingly approve massive development projects that might undermine the entire vision that the plan is trying to put together in order to protect the town, to serve its economic interests, its recreational interests, to, you know, preserve the quality of the community and preserve the quality of the Delaware River, which is so important to the town of Highland.
One of those developments that's been at the top of the news is what's known as Camp FIMFO, which is basically an RV campground in the town of Highland that is under consideration. Is this petition that you have to pause development in the Upper Delaware River Corridor sort of aimed at that as well?
So the Camp FIMFO project, which would have irreparable, transformational, and harmful impacts on over 200 acres of the scenic and recreational river corridor, certainly is one of the development projects that is very concerning to the Delaware Riverkeeper Network and to many of the residents, as well as the businesses of the town of Highland. And so certainly Camp FIMFO would be impacted by this moratorium if it would be put in place. But Camp FIMFO is not the only reason, right? That is not the target. This is really about protecting the scenic and recreational river and making sure that the people of the town of Highland have a true opportunity to identify their vision for their community and including the scenic and recreational river corridor, and making sure that that vision is not undermined before it's even put in place, before the comprehensive plan is finalized, before the ordinances that would implement it are finalized, and before the town has had the opportunity to make sure that those new town ordinances, codes, regulations, and the comprehensive plan are in full compliance with the Upper Delaware River Management Plan, which is key to protecting the scenic and recreational river corridor.
The petition for the moratorium highlights the need to address some inconsistencies or maybe even confusion in existing ordinances in the town. What are some of those inconsistencies or some of the confusion that you're hoping that the town can address?
Well, you did, you know, you raised the Camp FIMFO project, which is a very significant RV park. It would take a beautiful natural tent camping area, primarily natural tent camping area, which is enjoyed by people from all over the region, from all over the nation, and it would turn it into a very industrialized RV park. One of the reasons why Camp FIMFO and Northgate Resorts, that's advancing the project, are able to, I think in a very serious way, get their project considered by the relevant town boards is because of the definition of what is an RV. And there is some confusion there. Well, there are some differences, and depending on how you read the town code, an RV could be a permanent structure that's allowed to remain in the floodplain, or more properly, right, should be something that's temporary. But the Camp FIMFO people are really manipulating the definition of RV that is in the current code and regulations, and as a result, really undermining the current vision for the town of Highland. So that's the kind of issue that needs to be addressed. You know, is an RV something that you drive in and that you drive out? And if the floodwaters rise and you're, you know, having serious and significant problems in terms of the environment, you can move that out of harm's way? Or is an RV essentially just another house that can be permanently installed in the floodplain and is not in fact movable when the floodwaters rise, right? So that's just one example. And I think that there are multiple places and spaces within the codes, within the regulations that are worthy of consideration. And in addition, we have had passed in the state of New York And I'm proud to say that my Delaware Riverkeeper Network, as well as my Green Amendments for the Generations organization, were at the forefront of this effort. But we now have a constitutional right of all people in the state of New York to clean water and air and a healthful environment that impacts all aspects of community decision-making, government decision-making within the state, including development. And the town of Highland needs the opportunity to fully understand what are their constitutional obligations to protect the environment and how does it apply to development projects within the town, including within the scenic and recreational river corridor.
That state constitution obligation is the recently passed New York Green Amendment, Article 1, Section 19 of the New York State Constitution, which asks the town or requires the town to fully consider its obligation to protect environmental rights. We're speaking to Maya Van Rossum, the Delaware Riverkeeper and leader of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network. Delaware Riverkeeper Network has petitioned the town of Highland just last week to issue a moratorium to protect the town and the river from development that may undermine the community's vision for the town's future growth. Maya, you outlined, I think, 13 reasons why a moratorium is beneficial. What are some of the other reasons we haven't touched on that you want to make sure folks understand?
Well, I think that, you know, we have the climate crisis that's barreling down upon us. And so we are having changing rain patterns within the region. And so communities are going to be experiencing higher floodwaters. And if we have development that's allowed within the river corridor, higher flood damages. It's really important that a full understanding of the implications of the climate crisis for river corridor development is taken into consideration and addressed in the comprehensive plan and in codes and regulations and all development moving forward. And I think this really is fundamentally just every aspect of those 13 reasons comes down to ensuring that the community has a full and fair opportunity to take the steps necessary to protect community character, quality of life, and the beautiful river corridor that is so, so important, and just making sure that developers and development cannot rush in the door and try to get their project proposed and approved before that comprehensive plan process and its implementation is fully advanced. We have seen this happen time and time again. A community comes together, they try to pull together their vision for protecting their community, for protecting their environment, for ensuring the kind of quality economic growth that they want to see move forward. Developers get wind of it and they try to rush in the door and rush through their approvals and undermine all of the important work that a town is undertaking. We don't want to see that happen to the town of Highland. There have been lots of debates about what it means to truly protect the scenic and recreational river corridor of the Upper Delaware River, which is critical to all aspects of the lives of all people that live along the corridor. And we want to make sure that the town of Highland has the opportunity to fully consider and protect the river corridor. And we're hoping that other towns will be inspired by this moratorium as well, because we know that massive development projects are either being proposed or about to be proposed all up and down the river corridor because the river is so beautiful, right? It's such a beautiful attractant. And so we're hoping that other towns will also consider this moratorium approach so that they can ensure that the river corridor is protected for the benefit of the environment, the community, and we are not putting new people in the path of harm by allowing inappropriate development within the corridor. That really is counter to the goals of the Upper Delaware River Management Plan.
Is Riverkeeper suggesting a time frame for a moratorium, or are you suggesting to the town of Highland that we need a moratorium? It's up to the town to decide how long that is.
Well, I think the way we framed it out is not a specific, you know, period of days, weeks, months, or years. It really is about the process. So what we want the moratorium to allow the town of Highland to accomplish is the completion of the comprehensive plan. And then taking the comprehensive plan and placing it, right, giving it life through the town code and regulations and ordinances, then being able to, and ensuring that it complies with Article 1, Section 19, the New York Green Amendment, as we've talked about, And then also ensure that the regulations and the ordinances and the comprehensive plan are in full compliance with the Upper Delaware River Management Plan, which is what protects the Upper Delaware Scenic and Recreational River Corridor. And to ensure that the moratorium is in place until all that work is allowed to happen, as you said, as well as ensuring that the town code and regulations no longer have any confusing elements that could be manipulated by developers that are trying to squeeze in a project that's really inappropriate for the river corridor. So we want a moratorium that's going to be in place long enough to allow that important work to happen. If it takes a week, it takes a week. You know, if it takes a year, it takes a year. But it's going to be governed by the needs of the town and the process, not some artificial set of days, weeks, months, or years.
Yeah. The town of Highlands 10-year comprehensive plan or comprehensive plan hasn't been updated since 2012. They're in the process of updating it now. What is the timeline for this process of getting it updated?
Well, the town has been undertaking over recent months, has been undertaking some public meetings to gather information about the town vision. So I'm not sure truly if there are going to be any additional public meetings. I certainly hope that there will be because, you know, one of the things when you're doing a planning process like a comprehensive plan, it can take time for the public to become fully aware that it's even happening and that they need to get engaged in order to help craft that vision. So I think really in the town of Highland, while there have been a number of meetings, I think it's really only now for many people that they're becoming aware that this process is happening. So we're hoping that there'll be some more public meetings to allow greater opportunity for public involvement. And then it's just going to be a matter of, you know, doing the work. I don't think that a comprehensive planning process is something that is a multi-year long process, but it does take time and we need to allow the time and space for it to happen appropriately in the town of Highland.
As I mentioned, Delaware Riverkeeper presented this moratorium to the town of Highland last week. There's a petition, though, for folks to pause development and send that off to the town. That's at DelawareRiverkeeper.org. Can anyone sign this petition, or do folks need to live in the town of Highland? How does that work?
Really, because this is a town of Highland planning process, I think that in terms of town officials, to be perfectly frank, they're going to be most interested in what residents of the town of Highland want to see happen for their town, right? This is about a moratorium on development in the river corridor for the town of Highland. But we do have to recognize that the Delaware River doesn't belong to just one town or one community. What happens in one portion of the river corridor has ramifications for all the rest of us who live up and down, you know, along the Delaware River system. So while the town council may not be, let's say, particularly driven by those who don't live in the town of Highland in terms of signing on to the petition, I do think that it is very, very appropriate for those who live along the river corridor, for those who come to visit our beautiful Delaware River, to send an email, to send a letter, to make a phone call to allow the town of Highland, the town council, to understand that we all cherish the Delaware River and we want to see the town of Highland put in place this moratorium so that it can properly do the work of ensuring that the scenic and recreational river is going to be preserved and protected for all of us, including future generations, right? Because we're all impacted.
And again, that petition is at DelawareRiverkeeper.org. Maya, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about another thing that Riverkeeper is working on. The right to know law in Pennsylvania, you're saying, is under attack. What's going on with the right to know law in Pennsylvania?
Well, it seems like there are some legislators who are trying to label people who are using the right to know process in order to gather information about what their government is undertaking, that they're trying to somehow be able to designate certain individuals or certain organizations as misusing the right to know process for nefarious purposes. And as a result, prohibit them from being able to receive
right to know documentation. And amongst the elements that we're seeing, you know, where you can be characterized as somebody who's abusing the process and therefore being denied your information, one of the questions they ask is, how many times have you submitted a right to know request? Right, which is wholly inappropriate. If somebody is actively engaged in protecting their communities, their environment, engaged in government actions and activities, you know, want to be aware of what their government's doing, it is not uncommon that in, that somebody who is aware of the right to know process would not, on a rather relatively regular basis, perhaps submit a right to know request to find out what their government is up to, so that they can fully and fairly participate in the process. Certainly the Delaware Riverkeeper Network, we submit right to know requests in Pennsylvania, FOIA requests in New York, OPRA requests in New Jersey, and Freedom of Information requests at the federal level all the time, because we are trying to gather information on what our government actors are doing so that we can help people be fully informed and engaged in the governmental decision making that impacts their very lives. This proposal in the state of Pennsylvania would allow an organization like the Delaware Riverkeeper Network to be labeled as somebody who is inappropriately utilizing the right to know process and then, as a result, deny us information. So this is a total undermining of free, fair, open, and transparent government activities within the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and we think it needs to be stopped before it's even started.
And again, you can find out more about that at DelawareRiverkeeper.org. If you live in Pennsylvania, Riverkeeper asking you to call your state senator, and you can even look up your state senator by looking up your address through a link on DelawareRiverkeeper.org. We have been talking to Maya Van Rossum about the work of the Delaware Riverkeeper, including the petition to the Town of Highland Town Board to pause development in the Upper Delaware River Corridor to allow for needed planning and zoning reforms. Maya Van Rossum, I know you got up early in a different time zone to join us, and we appreciate it.
Great. Thank you so much for, you know, really helping to shine a spotlight on these important issues. You know, our beautiful Delaware River is important to all of us, and it's irreplaceable. Once it's lost, right? It's lost to all of us, and we're not going to be able to recover it. So it's really important that we protect it in the first instance. And that same, by the way, the same goes for governmental transparency, right? You know, we are at a key point when it comes to our democracy, both with the elections, but also things like this threat to the Pennsylvania's right to know law. So we all need to remain vigilant and active and engaged. So thanks for helping to make sure people are doing that.
Thank you, Maya. Appreciate it. Take care. All right. You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Stephen Duvall is here with me. It's our fall fun drive.
Good morning.
You know, we had been talking to you and talking to you about why we need your support. And then we took an interview break because that's important. And that's why we live here. We live here because of this beautiful area. And you've got people trying to protect that area with this great work that they're doing. And we want to be able to continue to bring you this information to know what they're doing and what you can do. And so, yeah, we're going to pause and tell you that.
And it's interesting because my brother lives in Highland.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if he even knows about this and what this is all about. So
go to the website afterward, send him the interview link.
Yeah. He's my first call when I leave here.
Listen, the Delaware Riverkeeper champions the rights of communities along the Delaware River. The Delaware River watershed spans across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and New York, providing drinking water to over 17 million people. You may only see a portion of it where you live or if you go to visit. It's huge.
It's massive.
It spans these states, and it needs to be protected. So we appreciate the work that the Riverkeeper folks are doing, and we appreciate the ability to bring you that information. And the only way we can do that is because folks like you who are listening donate. 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org. I said we're a platform to be a megaphone for things, mm-hmm. for things that are happening in our community. The watershed, certainly an important, a vital part of our community, the backbone, if you will, of our community. And it's important for us to bring out that information about what's going on.
And the Alzheimer's Walk.
And that's another important thing, too, that's happening for folks. And I can't get over the fact that how passionate people are mm-hmm. about it, but also how much they're able to do with that. And just the simple act of going and walking with friends. It's one of the biggest walks in the country. And, you know, there's other kinds of walks, like, you know, the Heart Association, things like that. But this one, you know, it, there's something about having to have someone affected by this that you see, you know, losing their memory or fading out a little bit there, if you will, and being able to do something about it to help with the research. And as Tina said, getting closer and closer to a cure, but definitely in the treatment phase of things.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And hope to see everyone there. What was it? A week from Saturday?
Yeah, 845-482-4141 if you want to donate to support our fall fund drive. But I think that that half hour, the half mile portion of the walk, we might just rename it the Stephen Duvall walk.
It sounds beautiful. You know, she was talking about how you are walking through the park. It's like a trail, a half a mile. It's like you start and you're done.
Exactly. I saw your eyes light up. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with more things happening in our community. This is a fun one. Stephen, stay with me on this. It's the 27th annual Rosendale International Pickle Festival.
Can't wait.
845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. This is Radio Chatskill.
Imagine one day your NPR station just disappeared. All the news and shows and conversations that you love, gone. Well, we have been thinking about some backup plans. Maybe Corva Coleman could read AI-generated poetry?
Potato clouds drift in a spud-filled sea in this absurd world where I roam free.
Or maybe Steve Inskeep could do some ASMR?
I'm here to guide you through a calming journey into the heart of nature.
Or Scott Simon could read the dictionary.
Oh, here's a good one. Gongoozler. That's somebody who enjoys watching activity on canals. I'm a gongoozler.
Actually, I would listen to Scott Simon reading the dictionary. But you rely on public radio for so much more every day. So please, help us make sure those backup plans stay on the shelf. You can support this station today.
Here's how to donate.
Give now at WJFFradio.org.
You can also call 845-482-4141. I'm Tim Bruno in the studio with Stephen Duvall here on Radio Chatskill.
Good morning.
Good morning. And thank you for folks who have been donating so far. And we also want to give a special shout out to our sound supporters. Those are the folks who donate a monthly amount every month off their credit card or out of their checking account. And we want to spotlight and thank one of our sound supporters today, Alita from Honesdale. Alita, thank you so much. Been a sound supporter for a little while, and thank you for doing that. And just, you know, we know that when you're a sound supporter and you're hearing the Fall Fun Drive, you're kind of like, okay, I get it. But we know that we need some other sound supporters to join you. So special shout out to Alita, sound supporter from Honesdale.
It's like, you know, you're at work and you go into the kitchen and somebody's standing there and you're both getting coffee. And instead of being like, what shows are you watching right now? You could say, have you become a sound supporter yet at WJFF? And if they say, well, what is that? We're arming you with the information you need to get more sound supporters on board.
Become a sound supporter. It's our sustaining program, a monthly amount that comes off your checking account, debit card, and we know that that money is there. You know you have a really good feeling because it's auto pay. I call it auto good.
Yes.
You feel good automatically when you see that happen because you're supporting public radio in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania, and you're supporting news and information and entertainment, and you're also supporting stories that we get to bring you, including this next one, which Stephen and I are both excited about. It is the 27th annual Rosendale International Pickle Festival. And here to tell us more about it on the phone, we have a Victoria Coin. Is that right, Victoria? Did I pronounce it correctly? Great.
Yes.
Okay. How are you?
I am well.
Thank you for joining us. Now, the 27th annual International Pickle Festival, founded in 1997. Tell us about why did Rosendale decide to hold an International Pickle Festival?
Well, Bill Brooks, who is one of the founders, along with his unfortunately deceased wife, had a dear friend who was a Japanese woman, Yuri Amaguchi, and she had said to him, oh, I'm going to bring some VIPs back in November, and I want you to throw them a party. And by the way, they like pickles. So he just jumped on that idea. Through a party that he invited the community to, he thought he'd get 200 people show up, and he got 1,000, and he realized, oh, maybe I've hit on something here.
Wow.
and I could do this as a fundraiser. And so he joined up with the Chamber of Commerce that existed at that point, and the Chamber of Commerce and Bill put the Pickle Festival on for many years. We became aware that the Chamber of Commerce was hard to support in our little community, but we all loved the Pickle Festival. So the Pickle Festival became its own not-for-profit, and we have had it previously at the Rec Center in Rosendale, but it was so popular we grew out of that space. So last year we moved over to Ulster County Fairgrounds, which was a mad success.
Oh, good.
The facilities are just fantastic over there. It's a beautiful time to be there with the ridge in the background. And lots of parking, lots of easy access, lots of space.
Lots
we are able to spread out.
Lots of pickles, too. Sunday, October 20th, starting at 10, it's at the Ulster County Fairgrounds in New Paltz. And, you know, I imagine we're going to see people selling pickles and other pickle-related things, but there's some fun pickle-related activities that are happening. Tell us about the home pickling contest first.
So the home pickling contest, you can find out more information on our website. It's not my part of the project. The Albury family takes care of that for us, and they do a fantastic job. But they have streamlined it. There are, I think, something like 10 different categories that you can enter your pickles into. They can be dropped off at any time during the day. I think they want them before noon, and they announce them in the afternoon. That's great fun. Anyone who wants to enter that. We also have what we affectionately call the Pickle Triathlon.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. The Pickle Triathlon. Now, this involves three different pickle-related activities that someone has to participate in, much like a regular triathlon, right?
They don't have to participate in every single piece of it.
Oh, okay.
You can do just one if you want. You do have to sign up once you get property. You should go right to Pickle Central, which the tents will be pretty obvious. Will be green tents with big signs on them and flags flopping around. So we're hoping we're going to be easy to spy and sign up. Last year it got a little unwieldy because there were so many participations, so many participants. We have limited it this year. So you want to sign up as soon as you get there. There are three different contests. One is pickle juice drinking. The other is pickle eating, of course. And then the pickle toss, which is a three-person team, someone to toss the pickles, someone to catch the pickle in their mouth.
Oh,
and someone to
in their mouth?
The yes, they have to catch the pickle in their mouth. Yes.
So you have to, do you have to enter as a team to do that? Or is there like a, like you get assigned a random person you're tossing to?
You should have a team.
Yeah, you should, have your own. You should know your toss recipient.
You know your team members.
But this sounds like it's so much fun, Stephen. Did you have a question?
It's a great hoot.
Yeah, the pickle juice drinking contest. So what's that about? Is it who can drink the most, or who can drink a certain amount
the fastest? Yeah, give them a full jar, and whoever gets to the bottom first wins.
Oh my God, a full jar! Wow. I don't know if I can.
Yeah, it's a full jar. It's not something I have ever participated in.
I was going to ask if you tried that yet, Victoria.
No, I am not really. I'm a fan of this party, but I am not a fan of pickle juice.
Well, this sounds like fun. And again, it's the 27th annual Rosendale International Pickle Festival. It's at the Ulster County Fairgrounds in New Paltz this Sunday, starting at 10 until 5. I noticed on your website, too, the pickles happen no matter what the weather is.
Yes, no matter what the weather is, but it's supposed to be a beautiful day.
Yeah.
It's $5 a head. We have kept it very affordable. It is a fundraiser. We bring all the money back into town and distribute it through all our different needs, the library, the youth center, the rec center, the theater, wherever the needs are met. We've contributed to the town towards signage, and we've bought a new floor for the rec center in the past, that kind of thing. And under 12 is free. So it's very affordable to do it as a family. We definitely encourage you to bring cash because the front gate is cash only. There will be some ATM machines on property, but it's great if you could give us your your hard-earned cash at the gate.
And are you still looking for pickle enthusiasts to become pickleteers or volunteers?
Yes, you could still volunteer. The website is up. I do think Riley Waddell and Sadia are the women in charge of that. They have people pretty much scheduled, but I'm sure they'd happily take anyone else who wants to volunteer and be part of the Pickleteer team.
Pickleteers. Oh, I love it. The website is RosendalePickleFestival.org. Again, it's coming up this Sunday at the Ulster County Fairgrounds. Victoria Coyne, thank you so much for telling us about it, and have a great pickle festival.
Thank you. Thanks so much for including us.
Of course. All right. We are going to take a break. Stephen, I feel like we might want to enter you in this pickle triathlon. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting watching or looking on the website, the different pickles. There's so many different kinds of pickles. They're sweet. They're sour. You can pickle vegetables. There's all sorts of pickling that can be done.
And you can also support us during our fall fun drive to help continue to bring you stories of all types of pickling and fermentation, 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Sullivan County Rock the Vote concert with a special conversation with one of the performers. This is Radio Chatskill.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life. And if everybody actually paid, public radio would be swimming in money. But of course, public radio is free. That's important, that it's free for everybody. If and when you decide to donate, you're keeping this radio station on the air for the whole community. All of us who make these shows just want them to be out there for everyone. It's your donation that makes that possible. Here's how to pledge.
Keep Radio Catskill freely available to the entire community. Give now at WJFFradio.org.
You can also call 845-482-4141, WJFFradio.org. I'm Tim Bruno here in the studio with Stephen Duvall, who's joined us for Radio Chatskill, and now special guest Richard Travis, who is here. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great.
You're here because you're going to be playing at the Sullivan County Rock the Vote concert. We've been talking about this the last couple of days. Tell us about this Rock the Vote experience.
Well, it's an amazing chance to celebrate your right to vote, get down, get educated, get positive.
Yes.
You know, we want to vote for things, not against things. That's so, you know, and celebrate and get down.
And get down.
Please.
So when they called you and asked you if you wanted to be a part of it, did you just automatically jump at it?
Of course. I mean, anything I can do to educate, help my community, educate myself. You know, I'm just a young boy from Monticello, like a lot of us around here. You know, I'm just trying to stay focused in this world. And like, man, there's so much we all got to do, right? But you got to do two things, man. You got to get educated and you got to get down. So this event will get you towards both of those eventualities.
And Richard is going to be part of the Rock the Vote concert. It's being put on by the Sullivan County Diversity and Youth Committee from noon to six in Parksville at New Memories. And you're going to play a little bit of give us a little preview about what you're going to get down with.
I'm going to get down
Saturday.
Can I tell y'all something real quick?
Yeah,
I tell you something.
Yeah.
Just real quick. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying. Thank you guys for vibing with me. Feeling like I'm feeling frisky. Feeling all the pressure hit me. Feeling like I'm drinking whiskey. Whoa. It never hits me hard, love. You could wish me. I don't think the photograph can catch it. I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do. Yes, I'd get lost for sure. Get lost. I would get lost without you. I don't know what I would do. No, I don't know what I'd do. Yes, I'd get lost without you. To my. So I hold you close to my soul. Yes, I hold you close to my. Yes, I hold you close to my soul. Hold you to my soul. Like that kind of thing.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Thank you. Richard Travis is going to be performing at the Sullivan County Rock the Vote concert from the Sullivan County Diversity and Youth Committee. When you walked in, we talked beforehand saying you would play something for us, and I thought, oh, he'll bring in his guitar. You brought a guitar, but when you pulled it up, I'm like, wait, this is a tiny guitar. Tell me, what kind of guitar is this?
It actually is a guitar, but it shrunk on the way in. I don't know if it's like the gravitational effects in this room or something, This is really why JFF is so important to the world, guys. Like, I've been supporting the station for a long time. I encourage everybody else to. Thanks for allowing me on here to spread the word about all the positivity. This is a mandolin. A tiny little thing.
I guess when I think of mandolin, I guess I'm thinking of more like an old fashioned version of it. I guess that's what I have, the image I have in my head. This is like a modern guitar, but shrunk down to mandolin size. It is a mandolin.
And because it plugs in, it's like the nicest little, like all the pretty old mandolins don't really plug in. So, I chose this one for its aesthetic and, which you can't see on the radio. I'm sorry, JFF. But I chose it because it's a nice little company called Godin. They make tiny little mandolins. Maybe one day it'll grow up into a guitar.
Maybe one day it'll grow up. We'll post this on the website or the social media or something so folks can see it and hear your message of positivity, which is so awesome. You've come in here. You said you're just a boy from Monticello, but you have this bright light that's come into the studio.
Monticello is a brighter place than many people think. I mean that.
Well, and you should. Say that to the shout that off the rooftops because it is, and folks are doing great stuff in Monticello and all around the area, and doing great stuff by being in this Rock the Vote concert. Richard, thank you for doing that.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming in too, and thanks to folks who are listening to us today. And as Richard said, be a light of positivity and vote. And also, the other thing you can do to be positive, Stephen, is to donate during our fall fund drive.
Yes, we're gonna wrap this up here in about 5 minutes. This being Radio Chatskill.
There's more coming up.
Yes. But I'm here to answer the phones, 845-482-4141, or go on to our website, wjffradio.org. Donate now. Now is the time. We are aiming for 50,000. We're about 10% there.
Yeah, we could use your support, 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org, to continue to bring you this variety of great local news that we are able to bring you. Think about just this hour what we were able to talk about.
It's been amazing.
It went by quick, but we were able to bring you so many different things from so many different people, so many different areas, so many different messages. Yeah. But don't you feel connected to all of it?
I do, especially because I come in on Mondays and Friday mornings and I sit here by myself. And today I have I have people calling in. I have people sitting next to me. A mandolin. There's all the studio is a buzz. Yeah, it's great.
Well, I mean, that's why we're here, right? We're here to promote the community, support the community. We just need your support to be able to continue to do that. 845-482-4141, wjffradio.org. Show your support during our fall fun drive and keep it going and alive and positive, as Richard said. He's such a positive guy. I love it. And the mandolin. I didn't know that was a mandolin. I think of like, you know, 15th century or something when I see when you say mandolin, that or Bruce Hornsby.
I think of the thing that you use when you cook, when you're slicing
an apple,
like you slice
something.
Your finger by mistake, right? Okay. The mandolin. But this was a beautiful
mandolin.
We're
learning so much. That's why we're public radio. We're helping educate you. 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org. Thank you so much, Stephen, for coming in today.
It's great to be here.
Maybe we'll see you some other time this week if you're around.
Yeah, sure.
Experience more of the cornucopia.
You never know when I'm going to pop up.
Right. The cornucopia of public radio. 845-482-4141. Donate now. That's all for this edition of Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Jeff Works Office Solutions, located right on Main Street in Jeffersonville, New York. A newly renovated, pet-friendly office space that rents by the day, week, or month, with hot desks, sound-insulated rooms, Wi-Fi, modern amenities, and 24-hour secure access. Online at jeffworksjville.com. And from The Cooperage Project, thecooperageproject.org. And listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
Hi, I'm Brent Jones, Senior News Apps Developer at NPR.
I'm Casey Morell, and I produce the NPR Politics Podcast.
My name is Kristen Hartman. I'm the Senior Manager of Business Development at NPR.
I work in public media for a lot of reasons, but the main one is that first word, public. What we do is available to everyone, everywhere.
I started at NPR answering phones when listeners called. And I stay in public media because I'm just insatiably curious about what we can do and create when we all work together.
I've worked in public media for more than a decade because I believe it's important to help people understand the world around them, how we got here, what's happening now, where we're going, and why it matters to all of us.
Help keep public media strong today by making a donation to this station. Here's how. And thank you.
Give now at wjffradio.org.
Or call 845-482-4141 during our fall fund drive. Donate to support public radio in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. You are listening to WJFF Jeffersonville, streaming live at WJFFradio.org. We are Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Today's forecast, chilly, if you hadn't noticed, with a shower in spots, high of only 47, low tonight down to 33. Clear, though, warming up over the next few days. Tomorrow, 56, 63 Friday, 70 on Saturday and Sunday, and sunny all those days. Clear all of the nights, low tonight, 34, 36 tomorrow night, and then around 40 or so. But looking toward the weekend, going to be really kind of beautiful sunshine and a nice time to enjoy the fall. And our fall fun drive. Donate at 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. It's a